Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Kuf Yud Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you'll find at the top of Daf Kuf Yud Ches, the second line from the top. The topic dealt with here has to do with the return of items. The topic heading that you can see in the margin reads as follows: Mikum, the location, Shel Hachzoras Havois, Pigdoinois, Vavedos. The return of loans, entrusted articles, lost articles. The Mishnah. Hagoizel es chavero, someone who stole from someone, o shehilva heimenu, or borrowed from him, o shehifkid lo biyishuv, or an item was entrusted to him in a settled area, lo yachsu lo bamidbar. One is not to return the item in the desert. Rashi on the Mishnah says, Lo yachsu lo bamidbar im ein ze tovo. If the owner is not seeking it in return, ein ze, the lova, the borrower, or the shomer, ein ze yochol lechufoi lekabel choivoi oipigdon bamidbar. He cannot force the owner to receive the item due to him in the desert. The lav mokum shimur, it's not a place where items are secure. The Mishnah goes on, Al menas lotseis bamidbar, yachsir lo bamidbar. Now, the thinking right now is that a condition was made at the outset, and Rashi says, Al menas lotseis lamidbar, kosalka daitoch, the initial thinking, but will be subject to change. She'omar lo loive zeh, this particular borrower said, Almanas sheneitse la midbar v'shom efraloch. I'm borrowing this money with the understanding that I will be going into the desert and I will pay you over there. Lahachi poruch, if that's the understanding of the Mishnah, the Gemara will ask, Pshita, it's obvious that would be the outcome, yachsir lo bamidbar, that we saw in the Mishnah. V'ho masna behedyo lekablo bamidbar. There was an explicit condition stated at the outset. So what is the Mishnah revealing to us? Now, the Gemara. V'raminu. We raise a contradiction from the following source. Malve, or milve, mishtalemes b'cho mokom. Payback of loans are paid back in all places. Aveda upikodon ein mishtalman elo bimakoimon. A lost article or the return of an entrusted item is done only in their place. Well, but what do you see from here? You see that the payback of a loan can be anywhere, and the Mishnah indicated otherwise. Omar Abaye, hochi komar. So Abaye says the following is the resolution. Milve nitno litova b'chol makom. The malve, the lender, has a right to request payment in all places. He has the upper hand. Avedo pikodon lo nitnu litova elo b'makoman. A lost article or an entrusted item cannot be demanded in return other than in their place. The Gemara continues with the quote from the Mishnah. Here we allude to what we deal with what Rashi alluded to earlier. Almanas lotseis bamidbar. If a condition was made at the outset, so then payment can be made in the midbar, in the desert. Pshita, is that not obvious? So what do I need the Mishnah to tell me that if a condition is stated at the outset that you must conform to the condition. Lo, tsrifa, no, the Mishnah is necessary to be taught under the following circumstances. The Omar Le, the owner who entrusted the item, said, Lehavei hai pikadon gaboch, let this article be by you. Da'anol le midbor nafikno, I'm planning to go to the desert. The Omar Le Ihu, and the Shomer, the Bailey, responded, Anol le midbor nami bo'ino le mefak, I'm also planning to go to the midbar. Ibo ino la adrinu loch hasam madirna loch. Rashi says, Iboyis la dure nihaloch hasam madarna loch. If I should want to return the entrusted item to you over there, then I will do so. Vashmin and Tana, our Mishnah reveals, De afagav delo tnai gomorhu. The points were not stated in a formal tnai format, a formal condition statement. The ha iboyis komar, he said, if it should be desired. That's not an expression that is a strict conditional statement. Afilu hachi kevon de yoda de ihunami le midbor nafik. Since the owner was aware that this shomer was going to go to the desert as well, al korcho yikablem, he must accept the return of the item even there in the desert. So that the point of the Mishnah is, unlike we thought at the outset that a formal condition was stated, but a statement of a statement was made creating awareness of their mutual presence in the midbar, that is sufficient to warrant a enforced return of the item there in the midbar. The Mishnah. Ha'imer lechavero gezaltich ilvisani hifgadete etzli. The one says to the other, I stole from you, or I borrowed from you, or you entrusted something by me. And I don't know whether I returned it to you or not. Chayav lishalem. He is obligated to pay. What we see here is a person made a definitive statement of obligation. A point of doubt was also introduced. Whether the debt was paid up or not, but we know with certainty that a debt had existed. So with that, we say he has to pay. The fact that a doubt arose, or a statement of doubt arose concerning whether payback had taken place, that's not strong enough to cancel the definitive debt that did exist. Now that is in contrast with the second part of the Mishnah, Aval im omar eini yodea im gezaltich. Person says, I don't know whether I stole from you im hilvisani, I don't know whether you loaned me money or im hifkadetzi, I don't know whether you initially entrusted anything to me. Maybe yes, maybe no. Poter milishalem. He does not have to pay. Now that leads us into the a well-known discussion concerning statements of a definitive nature made by one party and a response of doubt on the other part, from the other party. Itmar, mona li biotcha. One claims from his friend, you owe me a mona. A mona was, we'll say, $100. V'halo omer, and the one being sought out for payment responds, I don't know. Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, Amri, Chayav. These two authorities, Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, say that he has to pay. Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan, Amri, Potter. And they say he's exempt. And now the Gemara reviews the opinions with an explanation. Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, Amri, Chayav. Bori, Vishema, Bori, Odif. When you have one making a claim of with clarity, with certainty, that's Bori. And the other making a claim of doubt, or responding with a claim of doubt. Bori Odif, we give precedence to the claim of certainty. So according to Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, payment must be made. Rav Nachman of Yochanan and Amri Potter, they say even though a claim of certainty was made, and the response was a weak type response, there's another factor in favor of the individual being claimed from. Uki Mamona Becheskas Murei. There's a given status, a chazoka. Where is the money right now? The money is in the hands of the one being claimed from. So we maintain that status. We leave it where it is. So the money is established or remains in the possession of its owner. Tanan. We saw in our Mishnah, Avol im omar lo eini yodea im hilvisani potter. A party says, I don't know whether I borrowed from you or not. He is exempt. He does not have to pay. Hechi domi. What are the circumstances behind the case of the Mishnah? Ile modelo kotovale. If you'll say that there is no claim being made from the individual, Reisha Nami Dolo Kotovale, the Reisha then would be under the same circumstances. Amai Chayav, why in the Reisha is the person obligated to pay if there's no claim being made against him? Ela de Kotovale. Rather, we have to assume that there was someone making a claim, a definitive claim. You owe me money. Vikotani Seifa Potter. And after the claim was made, the response that you see in the Seifa, the second part of the Mishnah, was a claim of Eini Yodea, of doubt. So you have Bori, a clear claim being made, a response of Shema, where he says, I don't know, Potter Milashalem, and there is exemption. That would create a question then on Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. Lo. That's not the case of the Mishnah. Li'olam de lo kotovale. There is no claim being made. Well, if that's the case, then why in the Reisha is he obligated to pay if he's not, if a formal claim isn't being made against him? For Reisha, bevo lotse yidei shamayim. In the Reisha, we're speaking of a person who is demonstrating piety. He wants to fulfill his obligations heavenwards as well. We take a look in the Rashi. You'll find in the upper half of the Rashi commentary, Lotzei Sidei Shemayim, V'kevon dekomoidi devadai gazlei, since he's admitting, without being claimed from, but the individual is admitting, I stole from you. Lo nafik yidei shamayim ad ovid hashava. You don't fulfill your heavenly obligations until you return the money. Avol seifa hayol velo gazlon yoda velo nigzal yoda. In the seifa, the thief doesn't know whether he really stole. The owner doesn't know whether he was stolen from. Leko shum tainas bori. There's no claim of clarity, of certainty being made. There's no heavenly obligation that he has to fulfill. Hence, in the Seifa, he's exempt. We turn back to the Gemara. Itmar Nami, Omar Abchia Bar Abba, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. And it was said likewise by Rabbi Yochanan that Ho'im Elechavero, Mona Li Biotcha, Vahalo Omer Eini Yodea Chayov. Let's note before we go any further, Rabbi Yochanan before appeared with Rav Nachman saying exempt. And here you have the same scenario where a claim of certainty is being made and the other party responds, I don't know. And here Rabbi Yochanan is saying, Chayav, he's obligated to pay. Yes, there's an obligation to pay if you're trying to fulfill your heavenly requirements. But letter of the law, in a case of Bori Veshema, is one of exemption because of the Svora of Uki Mamoino Becheskas Morei. We leave the money in its current state. The Mishnah. Hagenev Tle Mino Eider Vechziroid. A person stole a lamb from someone's flock and returned it. Umeis Einignav. And the animal died or was stolen. Chayav Bachriuso. The thief bears responsibility until he informs the owner. Lo yodu bailim lo beginevosoi velo bachazirosoi. If the owner was not aware of the theft nor of its return, umanu esatzain ushleimahu, and they counted their flock and it turned out to be complete, nothing was missing, Potter, the thief, is exempt. The counting of the flock and finding a full number there is considered awareness of the owner. As we turn to the Gemara, you'll notice quite a few volcano shapes, trapezoid shapes. They're featured on the side under the Nosei / Mivne heading. They represent Dalid Deos, four opinions, Be'inyin Ganav Shehichsir HaGeneva, a thief that returns the item that he stole. Kedei Shaganav Yepoter Mikol Achrayas, in order for the thief to be relieved of all responsibility, Haim Yesh Tzorich Shabailim Yedu Shechziroi, is it necessary for the owner to be aware that the stolen item was returned? Or is it enough that the owner counted his heads of sheep and found the number to be complete? Hadin toloi im yodu habaylim shenignav o lo yodu klal. The outcome of this is dependent on whether the owner knew of the theft or maybe didn't know of the theft at all. We have a little chart which presents the four shitos. And if we just survey the chart before we get into the Gemara, we have two columns, Ladas and Shelo Ladas. Ladas means the theft took place with the owner's awareness. In other words, the owner was aware that a sheep was stolen. And shalolidas means that the owner was not aware of a theft having taken place before the animal was returned. So we have four names going down the right-hand side of the chart, Rav, Shmuel, Rav Yochanan, and Rav Chisda. Rav says that if the initial theft took place with the awareness of the owner, tzorich das, then you have to inform the owner, I have returned it. And if you don't do that, and the animal dies, the ganav will continue to bear responsibility. If, however, shalolidas, meaning it was stolen and the owner was not aware, then minyan poter, the owner's subsequent counting and finding the number complete, is enough to exempt the thief from any further responsibility. Shmuel is of the opinion that regardless of whether the theft was with awareness of the owner or not, minyan poter, the counting exempts. Rabbi Yochanan says minyan poter when the theft was done with the knowledge of the owner. It's enough at that point for the owner to then count his flock and discover that they're all there, the thief is no longer responsible. Then, if you have a case of the theft never having been known to the original owner, he was not aware that something was stolen, and the thief then returns it. Afilu minyan leboy, you don't even need counting. Rav Chisda, he has a shita that we'll say the most difficult to understand. He says that if the initial theft took place ledas with the awareness of the owner, then minyan poter, then the counting is enough to exempt the thief from any further responsibility. Shalolidas, if the theft took place without the original owner's awareness, tzorch lodio, you have to tell him, you know, I stole this sheep from your flock and now I'm returning it. You'll notice that Rav, who's at the beginning of this chart, and Rav Chisda at the end of the chart, have what I would term opposite opinions, where Rav says you need knowledge. That's in the case of this, the theft taking place ledas with the awareness of the owner. There you have to tell the owner you're returning it. Rav Chisda has that concept of tzorach das, but only in the case where the theft was without the awareness of the original owner. And likewise, with regard to minyan poter, Rav says minyan poter in the case of shelo ledas, and Rav says minyan poter in the case of ledas. Now, having spent time on the chart, we noted the markings already. The trapezoid shape highlights the four names. A squiggle underline will be used to highlight the expression minyan poter, the fact that the owner counts and discovers all of the animals to be present. That is enough to exempt the thief. That's highlighted, as we said, with the squiggle underline. And the double underline will be used to highlight al ezik ketesh shel mishnah shech amishpat umanu poter. In the Mishnah, at the end of the Mishnah, reference was made to umanu esatzon ushlemuhi poter. What part of the Mishnah is that referring to? The Reisha spoke about a theft that was done ledas, with the awareness of the victim, and the Sefa speaks about a theft done shalolidas. So to the idea of counting and finding the number complete has relevance to the Reisha or to the Seifa or maybe to both. And now we turn to the Gemara. Omar Rav Ledas Tzorech Das. If the theft was with the knowledge of the owner, he was aware that the item was stolen, so the return must be through informing the owner that it was returned. Rashi says, Lodas Tzorech Das, Im Hekira Bailim Shenignav Mehem Tle, if the owner recognized that the lamb was stolen, Tzorech Shiodiyom Kshech Zirena, the thief has to inform the owner when being returned. The ilo hoydalahu, and if the thief did not inform the owner, afagav demonu es hatzon v'ishlemo, even if the owner counted the heads of sheep and it turned out to be complete, adayin chay machriusa, the thief remains obligated. The kevan diyoda, since the owner knew of the theft, havya le gzeila gemura, that's a full-fledged theft. Boinon hashava mal yusa, and therefore a complete form of return is necessary, and that dictates the informing of the owner that it has been returned. Rav continues, shalolidas, if the initial theft was not known by the owner, and the thief returned it, minyan poter. The counting done by the owner and finding the number to complete relieves the thief of any further responsibility. V'chi katoni, and when taught in the Mishnah, umonu es hatzon v'ishlema, and it said he's exempt, asefa. That's going on the latter part of the Mishnah where it said lo yodu bailam. The bailam, the owner, was not aware of the theft. Ushmuel Omar, bein ladas, bein shelo ladas. Regardless of what the owner knew or didn't, minyan poter, the counting and finding the number to be complete exempts the thief from any further responsibility once he returns it. V'chi katani umanu v'hishlema poter, and the Mishnah that taught that the counting and revealing that it's a complete number, the thief is exempt. Akula is going on the entire Mishnah, both the Reisha where the theft was with the knowledge of the owner and the Seifa where it said lo yodu bailim, the owners did not know of the theft. For Yochanan Omar, ladas minyan poter. If the thief was aware of the theft, if the owner was aware of the theft and the thief returned it, and the owner then counted and revealed that the number is complete, that's enough to relieve the thief of any further obligations. Shaloladas, if the initial theft was not known to the owner, afilu minyanami lo tzorach, you don't even need the counting. It's enough that the thief returned it, he is exempt from any further responsibility. V'chikotoni umonu asatzon v'ishlemo, and the Mishnah that refers to the counting of the heads of sheep and number turning out to be complete, thief is relieved, that the counting was a necessary element in relieving the thief of any further obligation. Aresha, that, as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, is going back on the beginning of the Mishnah, where the theft was known. Rav Chista Omar, ladas minyan poter. Rav Chista says, if the initial theft was known to the owner, so the counting is sufficient to relieve the owner, to relieve the thief of any further responsibility. In that respect, Rav Chista matches Rabbi Yochanan on the Lodas level, that minyan poter. Shelo Lodas, if the owner was not aware of the theft, Tzorach Das, the thief has to inform the owner that he stole and is now has returned the animal. V'chikatani umonus atzayin v'yishlema, and the Mishnah ruling of counting being sufficient to exempt the thief from further responsibility, Aresha. Rav Chista will tell you that is going on the Resha. What troubles the Gemara, Rava in this case, is trying to understand Rav Chista. Let's take a look at Rashi, toward the bottom. Rav Chista Omar Ladas Minyan Poter Shelo Ladas Sorch Lohodio Im Lohodio Afal Gav Demonu Chayav. And in the case where the original theft was not known to the owner, if the thief does not inform him that he has returned the stolen item, then he remains responsible for anything that happens to the animal. Umona Satsuna Reshop, and the Monu Asatsun part of the Mishnah reflects back onto the beginning according to Rav Chista. Vahochi Mashima Lasnisen, and the Mishnah, as far as Rav Chista is concerned, is teaching thusly. Chayav Ba'achrayas, the thief remains obligated for regarding the animal, Bain Monu, Bain Lo Monu, whether they were counted or not. Amosai, when is that the case? Bizman shelo yodu bailim b'chazaroso v'gnevoso. The continued responsibility of the thief, even if the owner counted his flock, and it was shlema, thief remains responsible when the original owner did not know of the theft and the subsequent return. That's what Rashi says. Ubizban shelo yodu bailim b'chazroso b'gnevoso. V'im manu, the Mishnah said, if he counted hanoch deresha, in the case of the resha where they knew of the theft, es hatzon liachar chazora, potter. Then, since the Bailam knew about the theft, the counting is enough to relieve the thief of further responsibility. Now we continue in the Gemara, Omar Rava. We continue now at the top of Omid Beis. My time under Rav Chista. What is the reason behind Rav Chista? Rashi adds here the all the other shittas that we saw, Rav Shmuel and Rav Yochanan, they presented the case of knowledge of theft carrying more responsibility than the Shalolidas, whereas Rav Chista has it just the opposite, where the Shalolidas situation requires a higher level of responsibility on the part of the thief than the Ladas. So what's the reason behind that? The Gemara answers, Hayol v'ankito nagri baraisa. The animal learned, literally, it took its steps outside. The animal, as a result of the theft, knew what it's like to be outside of the controlled flock of the owner. So, if the original owner was aware of the theft, and now he counts his flock and realizes it's complete, the animal's been returned, he knows that is to be now more careful, is to be on guard, so to speak, regarding his animals more so than he was before, because now he's got this animal in his flock that knows how to be outside. If the owner was not aware of the theft and the subsequent return, so that his counting doesn't make a difference to him, it doesn't indicate that a theft had been returned because he was not aware of the original theft, the animal that was outside already is more difficult to watch, and the owner's not aware of it unless the thief informs him. Therefore, Shalolidas, where the theft was not known to the owner, in order for the owner to be careful now as a result of an animal that was ankito nagri baraisa, that learned how to walk around outside, the thief has to inform the owner of the theft and the subsequent return so as to ensure that the owner will now be more careful. The Gemara asks, Umi Omar Rava Hachi? Would Rava have said this, namely that if the initial theft was bedas, minyan poter, that the counting is enough, v'oma rova, haiman dechazio lechavrei deagvo imro meidro didei. If a person noticed that an imro, as a sheep, was stolen from his friend's flock, v'roma bekola v'shadya v'lo yoda yihadre ilo hadre, and he shouted out, and the thief threw the animal, but doesn't know whether the animal got back or not. Umeis oi nignav, and that sheep died or was stolen. Chayev bachriuso, the thief is obligated. My lav, afagav the money. Is it not so that this chiyuv exists even if the owner counted? The thief remains responsible. So here we have a situation where the initial theft was known by the owner. He counted it afterwards. That's our assumption. And the thief remains responsible. So we see that even Ladas requires Das. And before, Rava explained that if the original owner knew, the counting would have been enough. I'm assuming that when Rava had earlier come to explain Rav Chista, we're taking that to mean that Rava agrees with Rav Chista, and that's a phenomenon that is assumed in many other places in the Shas. So hence the Gemara is asking, would Rava have adopted such a position, when here you see that the thief remains responsible even though there was initial awareness of the theft, on the part of the owner and a subsequent counting, and that's contrary to what Rava had explained earlier. The Gemara says, lo, the lo money, the obligation of the thief in this case remained because the original owner didn't count. So he was aware of the original theft, but didn't know of the return. If the owner would have counted, that would have been enough to relieve the thief of further responsibility. Question. Umi Omar Rav Hochi. Now we reflect back onto Rav, who said that you might require das or minyan or counting. Does Rav have those requirements for Omar Rav? Hechziru le'aida sheba midbar yotza. If the thief returned the animal to a flock in the desert, there was he's fulfilled his responsibility. We take a look at the Rashi on the fourth line from the top. Hechziru le'aida sheyesh lo lebalabayis b'midbar. The owner has a flock in the desert. Yotza, the thief has fulfilled his responsibility. V'afagav deleka lo ledas v'lo minyan. There's no informing of the owner. There's no counting on his part. V'rav lo sagi le b'lav chad mehani. And Rav previously found it insufficient unless you have one of these in order to relieve the thief of further responsibility. Omar Rav Chonon, we continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav Chonon Barabo Moide Rav Berak Osa. Rav will concede that you don't need informing of the owner, nor do you need counting if you're dealing with Rak Osa. That's a lamb which is whose absence was very recognizable, and it was recognizable when it is returned. It's apparently a lamb that has outstanding body features. And Rashi says on the first narrow line, "Virakusa shatle niker hu kishenignav." It was clear when it was absent. "Vinikir loroya b'midbar kishenizvaseif altsono v'afilu lo mona." In a case like that, its absence was recognizable. In other words, the theft was known and the return was obvious. We continue in the Gemara. Lema ketanoi. We have a long question marking. We're attempting at this point to say that the machlokes amoroyim that we have seen, we've seen Rav, Shmuel, Rav Yochanan, Rav Chista, that what they hold are opinions that are really earlier machloikes tanoim, an earlier tanaic disagreement. So now the Gemara. Hagoinev tlemino eder, veselamina kis. A lamb was stolen from a flock, a coin stolen from a pouch. Lemokim shigonav yachzir, divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Return it to the place from which you stole it. That's enough. That's Rabbi Yishmael's opinion. Rabbi Akiva omer tzorach das bailim. You have to inform the owner. Savrua, there's a point of assumption, the kule alma is lehu de Rabbi Yitzchak, that everyone, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva, accept Rabbi Yitzchak, yom Rabbi Yitzchak, when it comes to coins, he has a principle that Adam Asui Lemashmesh Bekisei Bechol Shah. A person is always checking out the money in his pouch. That's an assumption that, namely, that the assumption being that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva agree with that idea that when it comes to change in a person's pocket, a person is always aware of what is what it contains. My love, now, shall we not assume that the issue concerning the sela, besela ladas, that means the theft of the sela, was with the owner's awareness? Let's skip to the next triangle, Betelesh Shalolidas, and the example in the source featuring the theft of the lamb was a case where the lamb theft was without the owner's initial knowledge. You might ask, usually you have a streamlined examples. Why by the coin do we change? Why by the lamb is the circumstance changed from the case of the coin? So Tosfos points out the first of the two Tosfos, and the first one says, "My lav b'sela ubetlesh shelo ledas stam kis rogulos ledas." Your average pouch or pocket, it's normal that if something is missing, the owner is aware. Kevin shosu mashkiso, since we have Rabbi Yitzchok's principle that a person is always handling his cash. Ustam tle, and the standard case of tle, rogilios shalolidas. It's not with the knowledge, it's understood, it's assumed to be without the owner's knowledge of its theft. Lahochi noket beha ledas ubeha shalolidas. And therefore, the Gemara is making the assumption that those are the circumstances. In other words, if you are seeking an element of something streamlined about the examples of this Tanaic source, there is something streamlined. We're looking at the stam situations. The stam of the tleh is where the owner is not aware of the theft of a lamb from his flock. The stam, the assumed case of the coin, is that a person is aware of the theft. In the Tanaic source, we saw Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva arguing. So now the Gemara, we go back to the first triangle, and we didn't point out, but the triangles are explained on the side as Nisyonos, attempts to hasbir machlokes Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. At each triangle, we're going to present what they may be arguing about. So we go to the first triangle. My lav b'sela ledas ubeplukto de rav ushmuel. The machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel parallels the later machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Rav had said that when the theft is ledas, you have to return with das, with the thief informing the owner. That is what Rabbi Akiva says. The opinion of Rabbi Shmuel is you don't have to inform him. That would reflect Shmuel, that says that when the initial theft was ledas, minyan poter, the mere counting is enough. So the thief would return the animal to where it was stolen, and we'll assume that the owner counts it afterwards, finds the number to be complete, that's enough. Bitle shelo ledas. The machlokis Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Kiva concerning the theft of the lamb was a case where the owner was not aware of the initial theft. Ubeplukto de Rav Chistov Rabbi Yochanan. Initial theft without knowledge of the owner. Rav Chista said in the case of initial theft shalol das, you need das. Well, that's what Rabbi Akiva says. And initial theft without knowledge doesn't require informing the owner? Well, that's what Rabbi Yochanan said. He said, you don't even need minyan. You don't even need to have accounting. Just return it to from where it was stolen. If this is the explanation of the Tanaic source, then what we said at the outset, that the machlokes amoroyim is really a reflection of an earlier machlokes tanoyim. Omar Rav Zvi Mishmei Dorova. Begoinev Mirshus Bailim Kuli Almo Lopligi Kidarav Chista. If the Tanaic source was talking about some common thief stealing from the owner, then Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva would adopt Rav Chista's approach, that Shelo Ledas requires Das, and Ledas a minyan poter. But that's not what Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva are dealing with. The Hacha B'Shomer Shegonav Mirshuso Shehichsu L'Mokom Shegonav Komiflegi. Totally different case. Their machlokas concerns a bailey that was entrusted with an item, and he took the animal for himself, or took the money for himself. And then the thief, the shomer, that is, returned it to himself, so to speak, to his own domain where he was watching it initially. Another point I want to emphasize is everyone holds, we mentioned this before, that everyone holds from Rav Chisda that shelo lidas, when the theft took place without the knowledge of the original owner, he needs to be informed. Rabbi Kiva Sovar, Koso lo shmiroso. Rabbi Kiva says at the point that the shomer made off with the item before he returned it, at that point he loses his status of being a shomer. Let me just review what we mentioned a second ago, that everyone agrees with Rav Chisda that shalom midas requires das. What does that mean, shalom midas? The original owner was unaware. In this case, where the shomer made off with it, was the original owner aware of that? No. So the return needs das, but the question is, whose das? Rabbi Kiva holds that at the point that the shomer, that the bailey made off with it, he's no longer a shomer. The owner would not trust him anymore. If that's the case, if he's no longer a shomer, then he would have the din of a common thief, and he would have to inform the owner that he returned that which he took. Rabbi Shmuel Savar, lo kosa lo shmiroso, the status of shomer doesn't terminate with his taking of it. It's enough that he returned it, and his own das is enough. He's aware of what he's doing, the shomer, that is, and therefore it's enough for him to return it, lemokoyim shagonav, as Rabbi Shmuel said in the source. Lema minyan poter tanoihi. Here's another similar suggestion, in the sense that, let us say that one of the ideas that we have seen earlier is itself a machlokas tanoim, the idea that counting is a means of exemption. Disanya, hagozel es chavero vivlia loy becheshbon. Someone stole from his friend, stole money from his friend, and on some later occasion, the thief made a purchase from that individual and paid more than the purchase price. That additional money was, we'll say, absorbed within his payment for the item. That's hivliya lo b'cheshbon. The extra money was an attempt on the thief's part to return the theft. Let us take a look at the Rashi further down, more than halfway down the Rashi column. After a while, that thief bought something from the victim. And through his payment for the purchased item with an increased amount of money, that's how he was trying to return the theft. So now this source goes on in the Gemara. Number one, Toni Chado Yotza V'Tanya Idoch Lo Yotza. One Tanaic opinion is that he's fulfilled his obligations that way, and the other one says no. Savrua, a point of assumption, the Kuli Almo Is Lehu D'Rabbi Yitzchak D'Yomar Odom Osi L'Mashmesh B'Kisei B'Chol Shah V'Shah. The same Rav Yitzchok that we saw before, that it's assumed that a person is always counting his money, is always aware of what's in his pouch, his money pouch. Rashi, where we left off, says, Odom osui l'mashmesh v'limnos, and to count kama b'kiso, how much is in his pouch. And the victim slash seller realized, would have realized immediately that there's more money than what the purchase price was. And he recognized and recognized that the money was returned. I think it's fair to assume that the victim was aware immediately of the theft because of Rav Yitzchok, namely a person is always checking his change. And now that he finds more money than the purchase price, he realizes that the theft was returned. Now we go back to the Gemara. My lav, the Hokum Iflagi. The diamonds are explained on the side as Nisyonis Lazbir Mamachokim Shnei Abraises. What are these two Tanaic sources, Tani Chana and Tani Idach, arguing about? So at this stage in the Gemara, they're arguing, Demanda Omar Yotza, the source number one that said that the thief, by paying more for that purchase item, has fulfilled his obligations, Savar Minyan Poter, that the counting that the owner inevitably is going to do and reveal that there's more money, is enough to exempt the thief from any further obligations. Uman Domar Lo Yotza, source number two that said he doesn't fulfill his obligations of return that way, Savar Minyan Eino Poter. The mere counting on the part of the owner is not enough to exempt the thief from his obligations of returning the theft. And if something happens to that money, he remains responsible. So at this point, the issue of minyan poter would be a machlokes tanoim. The Gemara responds, Amri, we answer, e svira lon k'Reb Yitzchok, if we were to accept as a premise Reb Yitzchok, kuliyama lo pligi de minyan poter, everyone would agree that counting is a means of exempting the thief, that if the owner counts and reveals that the amount is complete, the owner, the thief, would be relieved of further responsibility. That would be if, so that the issue of minyan poter is not a machlokas tanoim. What's the machlokas here? Elabid Reb Yitzchok Kometli. The machlokas here is, do we accept Reb Yitzchok in the first place? Now, if you don't accept Reb Yitzchok in the first place, so then there's no minyan to speak of, because he's not counting, he's not aware of how much there is. And therefore, Mor Savar, the first source that says the thief has fulfilled his obligations by the Havlo B'Cheshbon, by adding more money in the purchase price, paying more for the item, because Islay, the Reb Yitzchok, the first opinion, the Toni Chado, holds from Reb Yitzchok, and there is therefore counting because he's checking all the time his money. Well, more or less, later Reb Yitzchok, the second source said Lo Yotza, the thief doesn't fulfill his responsibility because he doesn't accept Reb Yitzchok, and therefore there's no counting. The boy is Emo, another approach. The Kule Almo is Lahud Reb Yitzchok, Velo Kashia. Everyone does accept Reb Yitzchok. The person, when it comes to money in his pouch or in his pocket, he's always aware of how much there is. And there's no argument between these two sources. There's no, and you'll notice what's interesting here is the diamond here says Velo Kashia. We're saying there's no disagreement. Up till now, the two diamonds that we saw before had komiflagi, that there is a disagreement. Here we're saying there's no disagreement. Ha de money varoma le bekisei. Ha de money varoma liyodei. The thief who's now making the purchase and paying money, so if the thief in paying the money puts it in kisei, puts it in the victim slash seller's pocket or money pouch, so there you have a fulfillment. That's what source number one says. Ha de money varoma liyodei, if the thief gave the money into the hand of the victim slash seller, we're suspect that the seller will take the money and throw it into his, Rashi calls his teva, his money box. Money box is not the same as his kiss. It's a box, so a person isn't constantly checking how much there is in the box. And therefore, the victim doesn't become aware. He's not counting there, so he doesn't become aware of how much there that the money was returned. V'boyesema, edi v'edi, demoni v'roma b'kise. Both sources are talking about the money being paid into the money pouch. Hadi isle zuzi achrini b'kise. Source number two is describing the case where there was money there beforehand, and the amount that of money that was there before, and he didn't know how much there was. And Hodeles le zuzi achrini b'kise. Source one is where there was no other money in the pouch beforehand. So in that case, he knows that he's getting more than the purchase price he was asking for. Hence, he knows that the money was returned. As we approach the new Mishnah, we glance in our margin under the Nosei, which reads, Ein liknois me'anoshim. One is not to buy from people that are chashudim lokachas mibalabayis, that are suspect of taking from their owner or their host. Kagon, roim, shepherds. Shepherds are shepherding other people's animals. Vishoimrim, or guards, baileys, that are watching items belonging to others. Elohim kain, unless chisroinim shaladvorim nikr, the absence of the item sold would be noticeable. Tiyaz ein yecholim lehitz chamek. If the absence of the item is noticeable, then the shepherds or these baileys would not be able to get away with it. Oz im becholzos meichrim simin shezeh shelahem. If nevertheless they are selling items like that, it must be that it's their own. Now, the Mishnah. Ein leichin min aroyim. One is not to buy from shepherds the following items: semer, wool, v'cholov, milk, ugdoyim, young goats. The chashash, the suspicion being that the shepherds took wool, milk, or kids from there that really belonged to the owner of those items. The owner of those animals from which you got the wool or the milk or the kids. Velo mishomrei peros, not to buy from people hired to guard fruits or fields, orchards. Eitzim uperos, don't buy from them wood nor fruits. Avol loikhin min hanoshim, one is allowed to buy from women. Klei tsemer biyehudo, klei pishton begolio. V'agolim b'sharon, from women in the Judea region, the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, clothing or fabrics made of wool. In Golil, where the more common type fabric was linen, clay pishton, and agolim are calves in Sharon, the Sharon region. We look in Rashi toward the bottom of the end of the narrow part of the Rashi commentary. Tzemer biyudah v'pishton begolil. Zuhi melechas hanoshim. It was very common for women to be involved with the production of fabrics, wool fabrics in Yudah and linen in Golil. V'hein atzman oisai sumoichras. They themselves would produce these products and sell them. Uladas balanhu, and it's with the awareness of their husbands. So there's no suspicion that the women were taking items belonging to their husbands and selling them on their own without their approval. The agolim, Rashi says, haroim b'shoroin. He has two explanations of what shoron is. One is b'rachba le'ein kol me'achar shemokim farhesio lo gonvum. Sharon is a wide expanse in a place that it's visible to all what he is doing, and since he's selling it in such a public fashion, it's clear that he didn't steal them. Second explanation of Sharon is it's a region. Shem Mokum Umokum Gidul Agolim Uvelokhim Agolim Bezoil Umagadlim Oisam V'Shelohen Hain. the sellers of of calves in Sharon are, since it's a place where calves are raised, the sellers are selling their own. It's not like a shepherd who's shepherding other people's animals. Let's turn back to the text. The Mishnah continues and says, the chulan she'amru lahatmin, all of these said after buying it, listen, you bought it, but hide, don't let it be seen, usur, you cannot buy from them. So that even though we have allowances in this Mishnah, but if they told you, I'm selling you this, but go hide, don't let it be seen, then that is certainly grounds for intense suspicion that it's really a theft. The seller was selling things that they were not entitled to sell. The leichin beitzim v'tarnagolim b'chol mokoyim, one is allowed to purchase eggs and chickens from all places. Tonu rabbanon, ein leichin min horoyim, one is not to buy from shepherds. Lo izim v'lo gedoyim v'lo gizin, not goats nor kids, young goats, nor shearings. V'lo Tlushin min atzemer, tlushin so tzemer. Tlushin is a reference to wool that was detached from the sheep in small quantities, as opposed to gizin, which are shearings. So all of these are not to be purchased from shepherds. Avoloichin mehen tfurin mitnei shehen shelahem. However, if they have sewn garments, even if they had stolen the wool, they nevertheless would have acquired it through a shinui maisa, by changing the form through making it into a garment. So there's no problem with buying from shepherds, let's say, woolen garments. For loichin mehen, we continue in this Tanaic source, you can buy from them cholov ugvino bamidvor v'lo b'yishuv. If you encounter a shepherd and a flock, and he's selling milk or cheese in the desert, you can buy from them. Now, Rashi explains, cholov ugvino bamidvor de'ein derech bailim leilech shom v'litlom v'roya notlan. It's not customary of owners to go to the desert to recover the milk and cheese that's produced there. So it's okay for the shepherds to conduct business, sell those items. However, lo b'yishuv, not in a settled area. The normal procedure there is that the milk and cheese are brought to the owner of the flock. So they don't buy from the shepherd. It might be something. It might be milk or cheese that belongs to the owner. V'loichin mehen dalet v'heitzon, dalet v'hegizin. You can buy from the shepherds four or five sheep. In other words, one sheep, no, but four or five is okay. Four or five shearings. That is labeled the resha of this source. We'll need the reference later on. Avol, and the seifa, as we've labeled it, lo shtei tzon v'lo shtei gizin. Do not buy two sheep nor two shearings. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, baisos lochen mehen midborios ein lochen mehen. Rabbi Yehuda says, word baisos from the word bias. These are animals that are brought home, brought to the community on a daily basis, let us say. There's a further discussion about these terms, baisos and midborios, in Maseches Beitza, Daf Mem Omer Aleph. But we're not going to get into the details as it appears over there. But suffice it to say that baisos is from the word bias. It's something that the owner is aware of. Because they're brought after the shepherd shepherds them around, they're brought home every night. So baisos lochen mehen, you can buy animals under those circumstances from the shepherd, as we said, because if there's something missing, the owner will be aware of them. He's aware of their numbers. Midborios ein lochen mehen. However, flocks that graze and remain in the desert, you're not allowed to buy from the shepherds. because of what we just explained. The owner is not going to be aware of any absence. Klolo Shodovar. The following is the general principle. Kol Shahareya Moichir Balabayas. Margish boy, lochin mehen. Ein margish boy, ein lochin mehen. Any situation where a roa, a shepherd, sells and the owner, Aleph, if he's margish, if he feels the loss, feels the absence, you can buy from the shepherd. The shepherd isn't going to risk his livelihood by stealing from the owner with the owner's awareness of the theft. So if it's a case of margishbo and the shepherd is nevertheless selling it, it must be that the shepherd is selling his own stuff, his own items, his own animals. If the owner would not be aware, is ein margish, he's not sensitive, aware of their absence, then the shepherd might very well sell animals that are not his, feeling he won't be caught. Now we go over a point mentioned in this source, the issue of the numbers, the 4 or 5. Yes, you can buy the 2, you can't. Omar mar loikhin mehen dalet vehe tzon dalet vehe gizin. Hashto yesh lomar arba zav ninan. The source gives you permission to buy 4. Chamisha mibaya. Do I need to tell you that you'd be allowed to buy 5? In light of the explanations we've given, that it all depends on awareness levels if of the owner. So if 4 you're allowed to buy, 5 certainly, because that's more recognizable in its absence. Omar Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda explains, Arbo'o mitoch chamisha. It's not 4 or 5. It's you can buy 4 when there's a total of 5. That's a major absence. You're left with only 1. So that is okay to buy. V'ikot di'amri Omar Rav Chisda. Another approach another version of what Rav Chisda says to explain the numbers. Arba'o me'aider katon v'chamesh me'aider gadol. 4 can be purchased from a small flock. 5 can be purchased from a large flock. Ha gufa kashya. There's an inherent problem, though, in this source. Amris, you said 4 g'dalet v'heitzon dalet v'gizin dalet v'in avol sholosh lo. 4 or 5, yes, but 3, no. When you infer from what is stated, you come out with 3 would be forbidden to buy. Amos Seif, and then you continue reading this source. It said Avolo State Zone. 2, no. Ha Shalosh Zavninon, but 3, yes, you could buy. Focusing on our dashed underline, you see a contradiction. Initially you said 3, no, and now you're saying 3 would be okay to buy. Lo kasha, there's no contradiction. Ha bebraisa, ha bekhishta. Braisa means healthy, full, healthy, robust animals. 3, even 3 of those, their absence would be recognizable. So That's where we inferred that 3 would be allowed if you're dealing with 3 robust animals. Ha b'chishusa, the inference that led us to say 3 would be forbidden is if you're dealing with 3 emaciated animals. They're not significant. The owner doesn't pay so much attention to them. Therefore, the absence of 3 emaciated animals would not draw his attention. Therefore, you would not be allowed to buy 3. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Baisos lochen mehen, Midvorios ein lochen mehen. Of course, a quote from above. We have a little arrow showing you where we saw that. We start a question. It's a long question. Ibaya laho. And before we go further, let us glance at the side under our nose, our topic heading. Birur divrei Rabbi Yehuda. We want to clarify Rabbi Yehuda. Shomer baisos lochin midborios ein lochin. Haim ze lahokel o lahachmi al divrei hatanakama. Is Rabbi Yehuda trying to be more stringent or more lenient vis-a-vis the first opinion in the source? two options will be spelled out in the Gemara itself. So now the Gemara, Ibaya Laho, Rabbi Yehuda, a Reisha Koyu L'chumra, is Rabbi Yehuda a comment upon the Reisha of the source, and the result being that Rabbi Yehuda is trying to be more stringent, Dilma Seifa Koyu L'kula, or he is a comment on the Seifa, and hence he is being more lenient. And as we said, this is now spelled out. A Reisha Koyu L'chumra, Diomar. The Reisha said, "Loikhin man arba v'chamisha tzayin." You can buy four or five. And now Rabbi Yehuda enters the picture, and he qualifies that. He says, "Hani mili baiso savo midborios afilu arba v'chamisha lo." The allowance of buying four or five—that's if they're baisos. But if they're midborios, if they're animals that don't come, are not brought home into the village every day, even a large number like that, four or five, you would not be allowed to purchase. So Rebbe Yehuda is more stringent, whereas the Tanakhama did not make any distinction. You can always buy four or five. Rebbe Yehuda qualifies that. O Dilma, a seifa kayo lekula. Maybe Rebbe Yehuda is a comment on the seifa and is being lenient. Diomar, avolo shtei tzon velo shtei gizin. The Seifa says you cannot buy two animals or two shearings, and now Rabbi Yehuda qualifies that. Hani mili, when is it that you cannot buy two midborios? Avo baisa shtayim nami lochen. Two from the midborios scenario, no, but if they're baisos, you would be allowed to buy two. So whereas the Tanakhama forbade two under all circumstances, Rabbi Yehuda qualifies the prohibition and says it's not always prohibited, and hence Rabbi Yehuda is more lenient. Toshma, Disanya. We have a Tanaic source in which features Rabbi Yehuda, and from this, the Gemara on the top of the next Omid Gemara, Daf Kuf Yutes, will come to a conclusion. The source says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Loichin Baisois Mehen, V'ein Loichin Mehen Midborios. You can buy baisos, you're not allowed to buy midborios. U'b'chol mokayim loikhin mehen arba v'chamisha tzon. And in all places, you can buy four, five. We continue now at the top of Kuf Yotes. Mida'omar b'chol mokayim. From the fact that Rabbi Yehuda adds that in all places you're allowed to buy, Shma mino aseifa kai ulukula shma mino. That Rabbi Yehuda's intention is to be lenient. Namely, that by saying in all places you're allowed to buy, Rashi now at the top says, Midomar b'chol mokum lochen arba v'chamisha almo hai tekol maflig bein baises midborios. That which Rabbi Yehuda makes a distinction between Baisus and Midborios, Ashte Tzon Polig. His distinction is with regard to the two. So that Rabbi Yehuda's comment in the source above, where he made a distinction, that was with regard to the issue of the two. Ulakulakai. And if his comment that contained distinction is focused on the two, then, as we saw before, he was coming to be Mekil. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.